So, being that it's we just finished all the holidays, the Yom Tovim, and this is the last week of Tishrei. So Tishrei started in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, then Sukkot, then Shemini Atzeres, and Matzah, and then we have now the final week. So I just want to give maybe a little bit of understanding of an overview of what happened from the beginning, from Tishrei to this present moment. And the verse that's quoted about the week after Tishrei and the month after Tishrei is the Yaakov Halach Adarka, that Jacob went on his way, which means that we had all this inspiration and insight and maybe some transformation. But the main thing is that we take everything that we experience on Tishrei and we bring it down into our lives, in the details of our life, into the mundane reality of life. And that's why, very interestingly enough, the sequence of the months is that after Tishrei, which is a month that's saturated with holidays, and it's called, it's the seventh month. Tishrei is the seventh, and the word Sheva also comes from the word Sava, which means full. So it's a month filled with holidays. Then comes the month of Cheshvan, which is also called Mar Cheshvan, the bitter month of Cheshvan, which is the time that the season starts changing, it starts getting wetter, and it's getting darker. And it's the only month in the calendar from the 12 months of the year that have no holidays, no Yom Tovim, nothing special about it. And that's really very apropos, because the idea is to take everything that we experienced throughout Tishrei and then to bring it back into our day-to-day lives, and to bring it down into the life where there's nothing supernatural or unbelievable happening, and maybe it's getting darker and wetter and colder, and yet somehow what we experienced should be real to us. So let's give a little bit of an overview of what happens. The great three stages of the high holidays until Yom Kippur is the stages of Hachna, Havdala, Amtaka. Hachna is submission, Havdala is separation, and then Amtaka is sweetening. These are the three great stages. So the first month, the month that precedes Tishrei, is the month of Elul. That's the time that you do soul searching and you do an analysis of what happened in the past year, things that you're trying to achieve and you haven't achieved, things that you want to achieve, and you own all your issues. This is the idea of submission. You're owning the problems of your life, or the issues that you deal with. You own them. You're taking responsibility for them. Then comes Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a state of Havdalah, of separation. We're under Rosh Hashanah. We don't talk about anything that's negative. Rosh Hashanah, our mindset is completely, we have a Shinei Rosh, a change of mind. Our mindset is completely clear and optimistic, and we think we deserve life, and everything that's negative we just cast away into the sea. We throw away the tashlich, like the symbolic idea of throwing away your negativities into the water, and you're cleansed. And then comes Yom Kippur, which is a time of Hamtaka, which is sweetening, when we go back into the past and all the things that we've done wrong, and we try to gain some wisdom from them and try to do a sweetening of the negativity. But there's a very important part of this whole puzzle, which is, I'll just give you the Kabbalistic words for this and understand what this means on a deep level, is that Sukkot, you literally sit in a tent. And sitting in a hut, sitting in a tent, is the idea of sitting in something that's makif, something that's surrounding you. It's called the or makif. There are two types of or makifim. There are two types of surrounding light. There is makif hakarov, the surrounding light that's intimately connected with you. For example, the garments that you wear, which is also an expression of who you are, or the position that you have, or if you're wealthy or poor. I mean, this depends on the garments that you wear. So there's a relationship between you and the garments. And then there's something that's called a makif arachik, which is the home that you're living in. Now the makif, the makifim, this external light, this surrounding light, even though most times we actually think that we're living on the level of pnimi, which is internal reality, which means, let's give you an example. Let's say a person says, I'm thinking the right thoughts, and I have a good mindset, and I feel in a good place. And then they enter into someone else's space, or they go into another setting, and all of a sudden they start feeling bad, and they start feeling negative, and start feeling depressed. And it's not anything because they thought of certain things, not because anything in their life is really terrible. It's what's happening is that there's always an interaction between your or makif and our makif of somebody else. If two people sitting in a room, so each person is projecting into their makifim, into their surrounding light, and projecting their mindset and their feelings and their thoughts is projected into this environment, this field, this energy field that surrounds a person. And when you enter into a person's space, you enter into a person's our makif, you enter into their light, and therefore you receive from them as well as they receive from you. So even just being in a person that could say, you know, if I do something positive, that matters. If I say something positive, that matters. But if I have, let's say, a negative thought, who cares? It's only hurting myself. And that's not really true, because everything that we think and we speak and we do, and even what we speak, we project into our environment. We're projecting into our space. So even a thought that you're having, then you breathe it out, you're exhaling that thought. When it rains, you're taking this negative thoughts as you're having, you're projecting into the environment, and it's actually creating, it's changing. A positive thought creates positivity, a negative thought creates negativity. This is the Or Makif. In the language of the Ari, the idea of Sukkot is to take the Or Makifim, the surrounding light, and bring it into Pnimi, bring it into your eternal reality. Your eternal reality, another way to phrase it, is your eternal reality is your conscious mind and your conscious self. So sometimes a person's not, doesn't know why they're feeling a certain way. It's not, we'll call it not your conscious, you don't understand why you're feeling good or not, or feeling the opposite. And it's not because you're something that you're thinking about or something that you're feeling. It's because you're in someone else's makifim. You're affected by the makifim. But then there's something that's pnimi. Pnimi is what you really think on a conscious level. Not what you're really, but what you're actually thinking. What you're thinking and what you're feeling. So the Ari writes that the idea of Sukkot, and then we'll get to how we get to this place where we are now. The idea of Sukkot is to take makifim, the surrounding, and bring it into pnimi, bring it into an internal. And some of the imagery that we actually do on Sukkot is that we sit in a tent. So the tent is our makif. And what you're doing in the tent is you're sitting. Sitting is pnimi. You're settling in the tent, right? You're sitting down, so you're drawing downwards. That's also the blessing that we make on the sukkah. If you're sitting in the sukkah, is on yeshiva sukkah, on the settling in the sukkah. You don't make a blessing on achila of the sukkah, on the eating in the sukkah, but al yeshivas leisha basukkah, that we're sitting in the sukkah, that we're settling in the sukkah. The same thing also, if we get more specific, we actually look at the species, the types that we take, like the lulav and esrog, which is this a very simple level. It's this palm branch and this and the esrog. It has the imagery of like an antenna that's drawing down energy downwards, that you're pulling from above, and you're pulling it downward. That's where you bring it to your heart. So you're drawing down the makifim, you're bringing it onto the pnimi. This is one important thing. There's another two important teachings, one from the Zohar, one from the Ari, and this will help us understand exactly what's occurring on a deeper level. So the Ari writes that the word schach, which is the covering for the sukkah, has a numeric value of 100. It's very simple. Samach chaf chaf, samach 60, chaf chaf is 20, so you have 100. So the Ari says that this 100, the number schach, which is your or makif, the surrounding, is produced by the 100 sounds of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah we blow 100 sounds. So those 100 sounds eventually become the or makif, the surrounding light, which is the roof that you're going to sit on Sukkot. This is one important idea. Another important idea is that the Zohar writes, at least if you can read the Zohar in a certain way, the Zohar writes that the schach, which means the roof of the sukkah, is produced by the smoke that is generated by the high priest when he enters into the Holy of Holies. Because one of the things that was done on Yom Kippur is once a year the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, and what the high priest would perform would, he would bring a certain type of incense, ketores. That ketores, the way to offer that offering was it had to fill up the entire the entire inner sanctuary with smoke. That smoke, he said, the Zohar says, this smoke that comes out of the inner sanctuary, of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the inner sanctuary, eventually rises up. That becomes the cloud of glory, which is symbolic of the sukkah, the schach that we're eventually going to sit in sukkahs. Okay? So what is this actually saying, besides the symbolism? What is it actually saying? It's saying that the Or Makif that you sit eventually in Sukkot is produced by yourself. You actually produced it. Who produced the Schach? Who produced the Or Makif? You did the work on Rosh Hashanah through the blowing of the sounds of the shofar. Maybe physically you didn't do it, but someone blew it for you, which means that they're your representative. You did it through them. This is your instrument. You blew out your innards in the sound of a shofar, which we spoke about a lot, is like the beyond the tree of separation, the tree of life, and it's the eternal breath, and it's your deepest self that cannot be expressed in words and only in a cry, and it's pre-verbal. This is what you gave out in Rosh Hashanah. This is what you produced. This becomes the Or Makif, which eventually you sit in Sukkos. The same thing also with Yom Kippur. When we talk about the high priest serving in the Holy of Holies of Yom Kippur, because there is no high priest today, and there is no Holy of Holies, this has to be understood in terms of our own lives, that we are actually the high priest, and the inner of inner is the inner resources of our soul, which means that we enter into Yom Kippur and it's a very sacred, very, very deep place. That's a very deep place that when the Torah describes the service of the high priest in the Holy of Holies, it says, there shouldn't be no man. And the Talmud says, no man means no angels. No one else should be there besides the high priest. What does that deeply mean? That's the place within us that no one has access to. And the only person that has access to that place is us. There's something very, very deep in the human being that we can't even share with another human being. It's only a space that we can share with ourselves and God. And that's the very deepest, deepest place of Yom Kippur. So the high priest is us in our most pristine place. The Holy of Holies is within us in our deepest, deepest place where no one has access to, but only we do. And Yom Kippur, we enter into that place. And from that place, we look at our lives and we say, this is what I've done, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to achieve, and this is who I am. And you just figure out your life from that very, very deep place. All this is producing the schach for the sukkah, which is that all the perspiration and inspiration that you have in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and all this commitment that you have in Rosh Hashanah Kippur, generates this Or Makif, this surrounding light, that eventually floats upwards, and then you enter into that space. The reason why it's an Or Makif, the reason why it's still just a surrounding light, is because maybe it's not yet your conscious self. What this means is like this, that I'll give another analogy maybe. Let's say there's two people that decide they fall in love with each other and they decide they're going to marry each other, they're going to be together. They say, that's it, we're committed for each other. So there's a commitment, and they look in each other's eyes and say, that's it, we're committed for life. They never discuss the details. There's no details discussed yet. How many children, no children, yes children, where you going to live, how you going to live, what's your job. Didn't discuss anything. They just like each other. They said, we're going to live together. That commitment is called Or Makif. Why is it called Or Makif? Because it's a commitment that me and you and this other person, we're going to stay together. How we're going to work out the details, we haven't yet figured that out. That's already the pnimi. That's already the internal details, the specific details of life. So Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is seen as the generative light of Or Makif. Because on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, maybe we haven't figured everything out on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And maybe we're not supposed to figure everything out in Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. But Rosh Hashanah, the Nekuda, the main point of Rosh Hashanah is to feel it hurts. I want to change. Right? That's the cry of the shofar. I want it to be different. I don't know how it should be different. I don't know what exactly I should do to make it different. But I know that I want it to be different. And in Yom Kippur, you say, and I want you, God, on a very deep level. And I want to be connected with you, with Hashem. Exactly how and what, you're not really sure. This is why a lot of times people have very high Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur experiences, which is, the cry is a real cry on Rosh Hashanah. The commitment on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are very real. They go very deeply into themselves and they make this commitment. But, a few days pass and a month pass and a few weeks pass and you're back to the same routine. It's not because you're a hypocrite. It's not because you're not a real person. It's just because, like any other thing, you were inspired when you were inspired. That was an or makif. It's like when you tell your best friend, I'm going to be there for you whenever happens. And you really mean it at the time. It's not like you're a liar. You said it and you really meant it. Tomorrow, when something actually is needed, you say, oh, well, I don't really have time today and maybe tomorrow. But it's not that you're a hypocrite, because when you said it, you really meant it. That's an or makif reality. In terms of our own life, that's considered or makif. It's us surrounding. This is the projections of what we want and what we aspire for and what we wish to achieve. Comes along Sukkos, and the Ari says this is the reason why Sukkos comes 4 days after Rosh Hashanah, after Yom Kippur, because theoretically, if Rosh Hashanah produces the sounds, produce the smoke, that produces the clouds of glory which eventually sit in the Sukkah, so the day after Yom Kippur should be Sukkos right away. So the Ari says, no, you're going to wait 4 days, correspondingly to the four names of Hashem, four letters of the name of Hashem, but also it means it's a waiting period. Because I want to know, is your commitment real? Or is it just because you were inspired? Right after Yom Kippur is a very high time. And everyone feels very inspired, and everyone feels really good, and everyone has very big commitments. Hashem says, okay, I know that's true on the night of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, it's full. But I want you to show up 4 days later. It's like the guy that falls in love and says, let's run right now to get married. No. Let's wait 4 days. See if in 4 days you still want to run to get married, then I know that it's actually more true. Yes, and I'm sure the inspiration that when it happened would happen, but we want to wait a few days because we want to settle that inspiration. We want to settle it into real time, into pnimi, into reality. And this is slowly the process of taking what we experience in Yom Kippur. I know some of you are thinking, okay, so we passed Rosh Hashanah, we passed Yom Kippur, so where we're holding now, and why am I telling you this? So it's not lost. Just because Rosh Hashanah and Kippur happened a few weeks ago doesn't mean it can't happen this moment. We've told this many, many times. That Rosh Hashanah is a once-a-year embodiment of the entire quality of Rosh Hashanah. But every day has a little bit of Rosh Hashanah. And every day has a little bit of Yom Kippur. And every day has a little bit of Sukkot. It's just once a year we celebrate it in its totality.